I failed that episode. From cutting off to asking questions inappropriately, or maybe there was no empathy behind it, or maybe I was stuck in my one way, which sometimes is strong for me, but I don't think God put me in the place that I am to lead with any type of pride or ego. And I don't think he'll be accepting of it at all. I'm just playing, I don't fight, I do
pray, I only go the way of Mr. Yahweh. It's not often I sit down with somebody and they say something that makes me think.
This was great.
I love you guys.
But you give me something to think about. My own damn
way. I had a lot of fun on this interview.
I'm so just let him go. Jesus, dude. Oh my God!
Just the way to start a podcast. Like, people, first time people are like, "What the hell are they doing?" What's up, guys? Welcome back. I'm excited about this one.
You realize you say that at the beginning of every podcast?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that about
it. I love it. No, it's great. It's great. And it's just so funny.
And I just imagine one day I'm like, I'm not excited about this one. Actually, if I wasn't excited about one, it definitely would be this one. Because this one, I got to, you know.
What's going on, dude? Hey, bro. Open up.
I got to talk. I got to talk.
Okay.
From here.
What's on your heart?
I'm using comedy to deflect right now. I don't know if anybody knows me that right now, but the devil has been messing with me in private moments, right? Like in my own thoughts. And he's trying to steal my joy right now. And I wrote in my notes, I go, if the devil's going to come after me privately, then I'm going to praise God publicly. Like, I'm not going to let him try to get me by myself in my thoughts and get me to like run away from the new obstacles that I have. So I have a lot to talk about today. One, first, I'm sorry to you. Like, when I talked about the marriage thing, it made it seem like I did not want to get married.
On the Jordan Peterson episode. Yes, sorry. Just for people that are missing context.
On the Jordan Peterson episode, a lot of people were talking about the way I was going about marriage. And we actually do cover this with a Cliff episode. We went to New York, and I got to sit down with Cliff and Stuart again. I wanted to, you know, bring my actual problems on a podcast and discuss them, but sometimes I speak so passionately, and because I'm so tunnel vision, it's so weird. I speak too aggressively sometimes, and it looked like I didn't want to get married. But dude, if you knew who I was, you know that I'm a romantic guy. I want to get married. I was just trying to clear a point, and I'm not going to bring this part up right now because we dive so deep into it in the Cliff episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to take the time to say I'm so sorry. Like, I hope you like. Like, for real, I'm sorry. Like, I hope that didn't hurt your feelings, because, like, that sucks from, like, a girl's perspective. Like, watching an audience being like, make an honest woman of her, George. And it's like, that's all I try to do.
She right? knows the truth deep down. But when you see something written over and over again.
But it's not even that. It's just like, it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm reflecting us properly. And that didn't come off great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I mean, I've told you privately, so I guess I'll say it again here, but you know, I know our relationship, just as Reed said, and I know where we stand. I know how you feel. So that all that matters to me. People are going to say what they want to say. You know, people are always going to have something to say about something, you know?
Yeah.
So, you were just trying, you had, you know, a question and you're pondering something in your thoughts and you wanted it answered, you know, but anyways, I can't wait to stand up there and say I do. And I know that's how you feel too. So that's all that matters.
No, don't speak for me.
Shut up.
Oh, that was a bad car accident.
Oh,
that was a
no.
bad.
Oh no! Oh no!
Is anybody on?
Oh, right, this way? Right there on the corner. Huh? Sorry about that.
We're alive.
We have a very dangerous corner.
Dude, straight up, we always hear.
There's always that second where it's like you don't know how long it's gonna last before the impact, and sometimes it's like.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's erp. Sometimes it's erp. Sometimes.
Thank you, Reed.
I think I was in that car crash.
He hasn't recovered from the dirty socks comment. He made Belle
go change.
I'm wearing
black socks this time.
That was the last solo episode.
Mm-hmm.
No, honestly.
My mom comments on podcasts. And she like comes. She combats with haters. But even her, she was like, Reed's never allowed in my house.
Yeah, I was in her home. Yeah, it looks like I just ran through the forest in my socks. Like, dude, I was like, they can't be that bad. I clicked on the time mark and I was like, oh, dear God.
Honestly, that's though, disgusting. It is hard keeping your socks white. Hard. I've washed my socks in bleach, and sometimes it's like...
Should we start from there, or should we just kind of...
I think that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you okay, dude? Okay, back to the devil in your head, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez, dude.
In my defense, I'm still dealing with the medication. It's making me very nauseous all the time, and it's hard to, like...
Parasite medication?
Yeah. I want to circle back to the Jordan Peterson episode. I have it in my notes. This is how I wanted to explain it. One second, sorry. I just want to get so comfortable.
Yeah, crisscross applesauce. Yeah. It's one of those kinds of days.
It's one of those kinds of days.
Oh, holding the pillow, too.
Yeah, I just want to get real... It's going to be one of those. It's all around going to be one of those episodes. I hope you guys bear with me. I wanted to apologize because... Let me take a step back. Before I even get into the Jordan Peterson episode, a recent podcast I was talking about, you're going to go through what you're praying for. And man, am I tasting that right now, like more than anything. It's no secret that my podcast just started performing at a level that I was dreaming of. Mm-hmm. And that came with a lot real quick. It came with a lot of learning curves real quick. And it's soul crushing to make a mistake or learn in front of an audience, especially one that's dedicating their time to me and just supporting me. So it's hard. So I've been praying about this a lot. And I wanted to know how I would go about talking about the Jordan Peterson episode, like making an excuse or like own up to things. Or so I just took a day to pray about it. And I think the best way that I could put this is this. I failed that episode. And I know that you guys were fighting me on saying that and you guys don't really feel that way. But I do side with the comments that did say I dropped the ball. And mm-hmm. It's because I was with this really wise guy and he said something that stuck with me. He said, only the comments that you know in your heart is true will stick with you.
Mm.
That's why I could see a lot of hater comments and read it and laugh and move on. But those ones stuck with me because I did drop the ball. I did watch myself performing that podcast and was like, that's not a great way to go about it. There was a lot of mistakes that I made, from cutting off to asking questions inappropriately, or maybe there was no empathy behind it, or maybe I was stuck in my one way, which sometimes is strong for me, but I got to learn when to hold that tool and fold that tool.
Yeah, there's probably a little adapting that needed to happen.
There is. And I just spent a day just kind of reflecting, like, how do I go about this? This is like the first time where I posted a podcast and I didn't get a good feedback, right? Like, and it was a blatant, like, hey, man, you really dropped the ball. And to be honest, nobody hurts more than this, like, me, because, like, I was very excited about that episode. I read a few comments and I just want to address them because, like, I feel like if I address them, and by the way, I'm never addressing comments that are hating. I only address the ones that I know are right. So, like, I have to, like...
Critiques, kind of.
If I'm going to have this stage, right, and I got to, you know... If I'm going to have a grateful mind, I can't have the attitude of like, I don't care what they say. This is like my stage. If you don't want to listen, go. Because mm-hmm. I do care what they say, if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, then I'm like, all right, they just don't see it from my point of view. And I'm very strong in my mindset here.
It's so very clear with comments, knowing if it's coming from a place of love and trying to better you or just somebody trying to tear you down. It's very easy to read them and be like, oh, you actually don't have any real care for me improving. You're just trying to, you're taking out your own insecurities, or you're looking, you went online to hate on somebody.
Yeah.
To make yourself feel better.
I read a comment and it said, you know, the fame's getting to his head. And it is. It is. And that's so uncomfortable to say, but not in a bad way. Not like in a way where I'm like, yo, this is my show. It's truly, I have a new audience now and a new stage. I am getting the fame to my head, but in a way where like, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. And I'm scared of losing it because it's such a blessing to have a platform and like, you know, brands that want to be a part of it and like all these guests that want to be a part of it. So I started moving, being very scared. And I took my fear off the Lord and I took my fear onto the show. And that's why I dropped the ball. So with a whole day of reflecting, I asked God, gently remind me for my next obstacle, right? Like, I already know I'm going to be put to another test, but be gentle with me because, like, I just came from, like, a really exhausting one and I would like my next one to be like...
Be easy with me.
Yeah, just be easy with me. Like, just, I'm still recovering, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still trying to figure it out and try to be a good leader and try to figure things out. And I took my eyes off of him for a moment and it was like, I got to make sure I come off. Like, people are like... listening to the show, and they need, and I just became a try hard, and immediately the audience caught it, and they were like, "Yo, chill out with that, and like, be careful of how, like, just because I have a strong point of view, I can't forget that I'm having a conversation, and that I have to be willing, even though I don't understand, nor do I want to understand, I have to come from humility and like understand that I am the host." And just because I might want to push back, I got to do it in a better way. And I showed that with the Andrew Tate episode, but I went there fearing God. This time I went in fearing that I'm going to lose, let's just be honest, the fame, the money, the recognition, all the things that I worked so hard to have. But God, in that moment, real quick, was like, I'll take all of that away from you if you act like that. Because this audience isn't building that type of nonsense. And so I want to thank everybody that kind of called me out. And I'm sorry, guys. Like, I really wish I would have pulled more out of that episode than I should have, you know? And you know what? I got to say this, bro. Like, it was so... You remember how I asked God to be gentle with me? The audience was so gentle with me, bro.
Yeah.
I've never got critique. Like, it was like... It wasn't like a... It was just like, come here. Let me tell you, sit down. And I'm like, just sitting there reading these comments. And I'm like, this is my favorite brand deal I've ever shot in my life.
I didn't even pay for it either.
What? This is a one-of-one original painting. This means a lot to us because Reed's dad actually makes them. Very, very talented, talented painter. You actually could send him pictures and he could hand-draw whatever you want.
Commissions. They're called commissions. He loves those.
Well, you know who's not getting a commission? You. So shut up. I was in the middle of pitching this.
DougCalderStudio.com.
Use my code.
There's no code, George. They have to pay full price, but it's very reasonable. It's very reasonable.
But all joking aside, guys, these are unbelievable. And if you want some really, really high-quality painting with a lot of meaning, make sure you guys go to the description, click that link, and not only you could order anything that you want to be painted, but there's also really, really cool ones already painted. So check it out. Link is in the description.
Well, actually, and I was going to say something for that, is that I think, you know, and I think it's very big of you to realize your faults. And I mean, that's something that you continuously do in your life. You know, you're always trying to correct yourself and better yourself, which I think is very admirable. But I definitely think you need to give yourself grace in the sense that, well, first of all, you're going through a lot. Your body, you know, he's literally trying to get rid of so many parasites in his body. He's taking so much like medication and supplements and things like that. So your body's going through it a lot, and you have a lot of work piled on, a lot of pressure. And then on top of it, I mean, you know, Jordan Peterson, that's a very difficult person to sit down with. And I think that a lot of people obviously know that. I saw a lot of comments that were supportive of that, that were like, hey man, I mean, like, honestly, good for you, for that was brave of you sitting down with him. Cause it's hard. He's a hard person to sit down and open up with. So I just think you need to give yourself grace. You know, it's a lot of pressure. It's somebody you look up to, you know, as you said, you want to make sure that the show keeps doing well and keeps going up, and then finding that balance of like, okay, being the interviewer, but then also bringing some of your own self into it, which I think is for the most part something that your audience really enjoys, is when you bring a piece of yourself, right, to the person you're interviewing. But I guess it's finding that balance, right, of what's just enough and what's too much, right? So I just think you need to give yourself grace, and
I appreciate that.
You know,
and I think I would love to agree with you. I would love, like, don't get me wrong, like, bro, like, just tee me up to be like, you're right, like, I need to chill out. I'm doing just fine, but it's too much grace that could be poison, right?
Totally, and totally.
I think, like, one, I'll give myself grace on one thing. When I cut people off, if, like, for example, you're talking, and because me and you cut each other off in real life.
Yes, like, please, and I'm going to cut you off right now. Please, people, know, when Georgie cuts me off, or when I cut him off, or whatever it might be, like, he's not cutting me off because he doesn't care what I have to say. This is just how we communicate, and this is how we have conversations. Yeah. And it's so hard knowing the right beat, when to come in. Like, is that person done their sentence? Or are they not done that? It is difficult.
Yeah. Yes. And that's why, like, that I'll give myself grace. And I'm like, okay, this is just like me. I have to get used to, like, this back and forth. And when I read those comments, I'm like, they're right. I got to get better at that. But sometimes I get so passionate of where the podcast is going that, like, I, like, Double Dutch, I jumped in too early and I ruined the flow. And I agree. I did ruin the flow of a lot of things. And I never have the intentions of ruining the flow of a conversation. In fact, that's like the least thing I would ever want to do.
Of course.
It's just my excitement, or maybe I'm in a thought and I'm thinking it so, like, much that I blurted out, I might accidentally cut somebody off. And that's very wrong with me. Disrespectful on so many levels. I'm working on it. But when I watched that podcast back, that was driven by so much pride, because I was like, yeah, I'm sitting here with Jordan Peter. Like, cool. Like, I can't wait to share my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell him this, what I, and I'm going to learn this. And if he doesn't think this way, then I'd like to show up. And it's just like, whoa, whoa.
You forgot the whole point of mm-hmm. being there.
Yeah. And to me, that doesn't deserve grace, because I don't think God put me in the place that I am to lead with any type of pride or ego at all. Zero. Like, totally. Zero. And I don't think he'll be accepting of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, like, do I want to jump on a podcast always and just like brighten up your day? I do. I hate the fact that I actually sit here and like I have to talk about this. And I hope I'm not boring anybody. But I was raised that if I did anything wrong, I have to own up to it. It'll eat me up alive if I don't. And this is the first time in my life that I've ever done this like on my show. So this is like, I just bear with me. Even if this apology is annoying, like,
there's a lot of like programs and shows and stuff where I feel like the connection between the audience and the people of the show, there's a huge wall put up where it's like, they are watching because of me. So why would I listen to them? I know what's best for me. If they care about that, they'll keep watching. But if I was an audience member and I saw somebody drop the ball a little bit and they did what you're doing now, which is respond and say, oh, I want this to be the best it can be. I'd have a lot of respect for that person. And it would honestly make me a bigger fan of the show. And I'd want to say, oh, I'm excited to see this guy grow. So
I totally agree.
In honor of this episode starting out so serious, I'm just going to just kind of go over some things that I was journaling. And hopefully this episode could not only help me reflect a little bit more, but like hopefully maybe this sits with somebody else. Here's something I wrote. I said, I realize every time I say a prayer, I get scared. I go, God, please teach me to be content. And the first thing that hits my head is, what if he has to remove everything for me to be content? And that immediately made me appreciate everything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So think about this. I asked God, help me be content. The first thought that I got was, what if he has to remove everything in the process of doing that? And then all of a sudden, I started really appreciating everything I have, like a little bit more than I should have, right? I found that really funny. Yeah. And then I realized, like, that negative thought is not from God. You know what I mean? Like, God's not going to be coming in. He's not a parent that's going to be like, you want me to remove all this stuff from you? No, because he has plans to prosper me and protect me, and he has great plans for me. But that one first thought that I got was, what if he has to remove everything that you love for you to learn to be content? I prayed on that for a bit, right? And these are the two things that I thought. One, first and foremost, if my eyes are really set on God, my prayer is, make me a man that could willingly throw everything away from you. Because if I need to throw everything away, my first fear thought should not be, what if I lose my show? Or what if I lose my girl, fiance? Sorry. And what if I lose my, you know, like, these are the dark thoughts, and the thought should be first. No. If those have to go for my God, then let me throw them first. Let me be the first one to get rid of them. Not, oh, I don't want to. That was my first thought. So I prayed for better faith. And then the second thought was, I'm sitting there and I'm praying, and the devil interfered with my meditation with God. But I was confused there, and I go, why would God let the devil come in? This is our conversation. He has the power to be like, you're not talking right now. Zip it. But he let the devil get into my head. And then I thought to myself, man, like, I always understood why the devil roamed around. A lot of new Christians would be like, well, I don't get it. Why would you let the devil run around if you're all seeing, you're all powerful? Why would you let that happen? And so he could know if you're going to choose him. Are you going to choose him or everything the devil is going to promise you, which is full of lies? That was one. But then I thought, man, there's so much more. It's so much more deeper than that, man. You know how stuff are forged in the fire?
Yeah.
It's malleable. What if I told you that was what the devil is when God uses him? He lets him interfere with your life. Just the perfect amount for you to choose him. When I sat there, I could have been like, whoa, I'm not going to pray for that because I don't want to get rid of everything. I'm really content right now where I'm going to have what I don't want. No. Because if you really thought that, then you should be willing to throw it all away for God. So when I felt that, I just realized, man, how many situations is the devil beating the crap out of us? And we're sitting here upset with God, being like, why would you let him roam around in my business? It's because he wants us to be malleable. He wants to forge us in the fire. It's heat. It's hot. It's annoying. But diamonds are made out of pressure. That's why I started the podcast being like, if the devil's going to mess with me in private, I'm going to praise God in public. Because I think a lot of us like to pretend the devil doesn't exist. That's his trick. That's not our trick. Ours is to symbolize and know which is wrong and right. Mm-hmm. So how could we use the devil? I know that sounds really crazy, but how could we use the devil?
No, everything you're saying makes so much sense. Well, because if the devil didn't get in your head going like, well, then all this is going to go away, then you wouldn't have sat there and reflected about how grateful you are for all these things. You wouldn't have been reminded of like, oh, wait, I don't want this to go away. I don't want that to go away. I don't want. And then you realize how important they are to you. And so you're grateful for them.
It's harder to even like put into words because it's a new thought. I haven't really even been able to flesh it out, but I see God using the devil as a tool in my life. And it's a tool that we don't talk about. If you're in a financial state, the devil's probably telling you to have a credit card, buy beyond your means, But it's like you have to fight these thoughts. You can't just pretend they don't exist. Because a lot of people are, oh, you believe in the devil? Well, yeah, dude. If you believe in God, then you believe in the devil. And the devil isn't just sitting around and just, oh, well, he's with God, so I'm not going to talk. No, bro. He's going to obviously come after you. You're the one that he wants. He wants the one that worships God, not the one who's at the park who doesn't even care about God. He already won him.
Totally.
He wants the one that worships God. And kind of the reason why I tied in this with my apology is the devil messed me up on my last podcast. He got me in my fear of like, I'm going to mess up this podcast. And I messed up the podcast because I was worried about messing up the podcast. And I should have been worried about messing up God's will.
Like you believed in that thought more than anything.
But you're going to be a better interviewer because of it. If the devil didn't intervene, then you wouldn't have learned this lesson and you wouldn't go into the next podcast remembering that and being stronger and keeping that in mind. It's you grew from it.
Yeah, but I think I only grew from it because I didn't run from it. And I think that's what I used to do a lot. But this podcast had made me so vulnerable and so like these people are catching anything I do wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like if I say one thing wrong, they're like, hey dude, what's up with this? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And that's great. Now, honestly, it's a blessing. Now I have an audience that can keep me in check. I mean, even biblically, bro, like it was other people that kept other people in check. And by the way, this is a Christian audience. So people aren't just like, I think he's wrong. Chapter, mark, A. They're putting Bible verses. And I'm like, whoa, like this is like.
Different from people just putting the remote and turning on late night TV and being like, that's interesting and turning it off, bro.
Yeah. No, it truly is such a different audience because you look at, and it's so funny. I was just looking at this today. Like, this is random, but Kylie Jenner posted some pictures and I was like, wow, I think she looks great. And I look at the comments and I'm like, I know someone's going to have something to say about it. And it's like, when she was super curvy, people were like, oh, you're too, oh, it's so much, da 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 da. Now she's like a little bit more lean and people are like, well, at least when you're curvy, you stood out. And it's like,
Jesus.
Poor girl.
No, I agree with that one though. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Like, you can't like... If you're gonna do something, do it for yourself because literally you can't please anybody. You know, somebody's gonna have something to say. Also, shame on those people. I just have bad things to say all the time. But anyways, but the difference between like this audience versus like our audience, who is so thoughtful and like precise with their words, is like that's a big blessing.
And by the way, like it's a huge blessing. There's this guy. His name's Russ. I call him Russ. But let me make sure. Let me pull up his real name, dude. He's as we speak, bro. Look. There's a video of him. Russland? Is that you pronounce it Russland, right?
Sure.
Oh, he's always, yeah.
Russland?
Yeah, there's a video as we speak going live.
He's a maniac, dude. He's always working.
He reviews you a lot, yeah?
Channel. If you guys are subscribed over there, I mean, that's family. Make sure you guys subscribe.
Bro, I posted the Jordan Peterson episode. And this kid, what I posted, had another video already watching it. And then there was like 100K of people just giving their inputs on it. And he messaged me. And he's like, hey, man, like, it was so nice because he's always speaking so highly about me. But he goes, hey, man, like, I'm sorry, but I had to give you my input on this. And I go, bro, like, if you're a Christian, like platform should never be sorry of rebuking me. Your job is not to agree with me. Your job is to correct me. Especially if you have your own audience, I would hate for you just to like me and then I'd be like, oh, let's brush this underneath the rug. Like, no, no, no. If you're going to confront me behind closed doors and I'm so vulnerable, bro, hang me to dry. Let me be the example that other people need to learn from. Like, it's a healthy thing to just at least move in a direction. It doesn't have to be like an overnight switch. Speaking of overnight switch, Mike Malak called me.
Just now?
Yeah, I'm going to FaceTime him right now. Why not? This is a perfect podcast for that, right?
Yeah.
Look who it is.
Yeah. Wait, can you? Oh, you're not going to be able to see me. Am I on the show?
Well, you are, but like you're not at the same time.
I know because I'm connected to my AirPlay. Wait, are you able to hear me?
No.
Hi, Mike.
That's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. I just got off the Bobby Lee podcast.
By the way, Mike calls me like, hey, just to let you know, we're going on Bobby Lee's and I'm going to give you all the smoke. And I'm like, oh my God. How did it go?
It went great. No, it was cool. I think, actually, he talked about like the idea of you guys doing content. I was like, yeah, but he's not doing your show. And,
Thanks. You're like the best agent.
Nice, Mike.
I was like, you're not going to capitalize off this situation. You're going to make it right, and you're going to go on his show. And he was like, yeah, I'll go on his show. That's fine. So he said he's down to go on your show only. If you
want. Wow.
Well, let's go, Mike.
You know, I always said Mike had my best interest.
You always liked Mike. You always liked him.
Yo, today I was on the phone with Mike, and he goes, bro, you told the world you wanted to punch me in the face. And I said, I didn't. I think that says a lot.
I was like, and the funny thing about it was you said that when we were already talking again. Like, we were already
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Me and Mike are going to, we still haven't really fully sat down and talked things out, but we are going to talk things out. Obviously, everything's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm going to come on as well, and we can break down some of the stuff on the show as well.
Yeah, all the secrets and juice, and then actually he's gonna be the new co-host of the Shits to Badges. Like they're like, damn, bro.
I mean, dude, sounds like a paycheck.
All right, bro, I'm gonna finish up this pod and then I'm gonna hit you up afterwards.
All right, sounds good.
Have a good one, bro. All right, peace. God, I hate that guy.
Oh, thank God you don't have to punch him in the face after that, dude.
That guy's the worst. I'm just kidding. No, I actually told him, I go, bro, it's like, it's as much as like we went back and forth, like you gotta, I love that, bro. Like, for those of you guys that don't know what's going on, me and Mike had a falling out. I was on a show with him, and I love when the devil doesn't win. Right?
Damn.
The devil tried to separate, and I could have easily taken the opportunity and being like a punk or like somebody who's egotistical.
And there was times where he was winning in your head. There was times where it's like you wanted to burn the whole thing down.
They were winning a lot. the scoreboard was real high on that one. But you know what's so funny? It's just like when you really put your ego aside and you're like, what do you want? And it's like, true. I don't think anybody wakes up and is like, I want the smoke. I want to smoke with somebody right now. If anybody says anything, and it's just like, that's
and
exhausting.
And if you do, you're hurting.
Yeah.
You're not in your best
And by
state
the way,
of mind.
I wanted the smoke at one point. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Because you were hurting, bro.
Oh, yeah. But I'm glad I didn't.
Yep.
And I love that. I love that if you work really, really hard. Oh, this is actually in the pair. This is going to be really
nice.
Good.
This podcast is really turning into something.
Is it?
No, yeah.
It's not, is it?
No, it's just joking.
I do blame it on the medication, though. I'm so nauseous. Like, every time I keep swallowing, it's my own saliva because I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Nausea is the worst.
And
this can be a short one.
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be.
I don't know. I don't know if I got it in me today. But this relationship between me and Mike, I'll even give this as an example. Silence was the best weapon I could use. And I'll explain.
Shout out Jordan Peterson.
And Belle's smiling because she'd always just be like, be quiet. Just don't say anything. But right now, I use that to kind of overcome that challenge in my life. Silence. Just be quiet and just watch. But recently, after, ironically, the Jordan Peterson episode, when he was like, no, you could really just look at somebody and watch them and be quiet. Really watch them and be quiet. That stuck with me.
That was such good advice.
That was such good advice.
Your dad also has given me that advice, by the way.
And that's, I was just about to say.
And I talked to him today. He gave me that advice again.
My dad is the king at that. My dad is the king at that. He's so quiet. I will only know my father is stressed or upset or angry when he's quiet. When he's quiet, if I ever walked into the house when I was younger and it was quiet, I would just, my stomach would like just turn.
Oh, gosh.
Because I was like, oh, damn. Like, this guy's like he's not bippity boppity. He's just like going and, do you want food? Do you want food? Like, if you know he's good, he's offering you food and drinks and he's like hanging out, you want a cigar. Like, he is 12 o'clock. Let's do something. Come on, let's go. But when he's quiet, you're like, oh, somebody messed with him. Mm. And that is such a powerful tool because I think, I'm not exaggerating, 50% of my problems were because of my mouth when I was emotional. It was like they would do something, I would retaliate, and then now that just added drama. And I have to go and either apologize for how I spoke, take back things I didn't mean, or the worst, double down. And you're like, oh, I can't back down. Nah, I just said that and I got to go in for it. Yeah. But it's like you got to just be calm and quiet. And then I realized why this is so important. When you're quiet... Are you ready for this? A lot of people are not really going to, they're going to hear it and go, whoa, I never thought about it that way. And some people are like, are you stupid? How did you not know that? I was the one that didn't know that. You ready for this? When you're quiet, you could listen more. But hear me out, Reed. The reason why I talked so much wasn't because I was like trying to get one over. It's because I'm a man who is socially like with his mouth, like very, very good at talking, that when things get bad, I think that's what I need to do.
It's your tool.
If it's quiet, I'm like, oh, I have to mend it or fix it or try. And that try hard, it's like, it's such an uncomfortable and cringe thing to look at. But when you like pull back the microscope and you're like, okay, why am I trying so hard here?
It's because you care.
It's because I care.
Yeah, you want people to know your heart and just understand.
And when I'm quiet, I feel like they think I don't care. And that scares me. Because I'd rather say the wrong thing to you than you assume the wrong thing of what I'm thinking. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. You have to trust that people know your heart. If you think they don't, then you're always going to be trying to prove yourself to them. Mm. But like I would say I'm a quieter person. You talk way more than me. But I know.
I'm already down, buddy. You don't gotta.
Hey, bro, it's the George Jenko show. So you're doing something right. No, but when I'm quiet, when I'm just listening to you, I know you're not thinking, why isn't he saying anything? Why isn't he saying anything? But it's because I know that you know my heart.
Yeah.
Like when I first walked in, within 5 minutes of us meeting each other, I knew you knew who I was. I wasn't worried about like, oh, I have to prove myself. I have to do this and this.
I don't think you understand how special that is, bro. I don't think you know how special that is. And like, that's why I'm so blessed to have somebody in my life like you, because like I could learn from that. I came from a world where I first started with self-deprecation. I made jokes about myself to make other people laugh. When I was younger and people made fun of me, I thought in my mind, if I beat them to the punch, I'm the funny one. Cause like,
which is pretty smart.
Steven's not gonna make fun of me.
I do the same
I'm
thing.
I'm gonna make fun of me. I made fun of myself so much. The teacher, I got suspended for making fun of. Like they brought me in. They're like, George, if you make fun of yourself one more time, you're not going.
This is just sad, kid.
And bro, no. But,
this is just sad,
dude. I can call my mom right now and ask her what it was. A suspension. It was a week lunch suspension. So like, I would go to school, but I wouldn't have recess. That's kind of messed up.
Wait, what?
Yeah, a week.
That's the worst.
Because I made too many jokes about myself and. My mom would be like, why do you do that? And I was like, well, is it? So like if I thought like if they laughed at me and I said it first, they're technically laughing with me. But this is a problem because as I grew older and I grew more confident, I understood that that's right. Caroline, you're more than welcome to come down. You're so cute. She was like hiding behind the thing. When I grew as an adult and I didn't like learn that this is not great, I adapted with that. So like, I didn't learn that like if I have a problem, I should just be quiet and think about it for a little bit before I just see it and immediately either tell a joke or like try to figure it out. And I think I got to figure it out or I don't care. And they're going to think I don't care. So I got to like figure this out. And I also grew up in a home where it's like, we don't go to bed angry. We have to solve this. And sometimes that's tough because you can't solve everything in one day.
Yeah.
So I have to learn to be very, very quiet and listen.
You're gonna be a monster, bro. Like in a good way. Like once you master that, you're gonna be a force to be reckoned with.
Just imagine podcast where I don't interrupt anybody. I'm just sitting there like this, like quiet, and I don't even say a word. They're like, man, he's profound, bro.
Damn.
Just all you hear is,
I feel like Jordan Peterson does that a lot. He's quiet and he takes his time. Like there were times where you asked him a question and he took like 10 seconds to answer.
Talking about
and
he, that he silence, would literally bro, argue like, with himself. He'd be like, I was angry. No.
Yeah.
I wasn't angry.
It's like, and listen, my
sad. Yes. Sad. And I was like, are we here for you? Like, are we a part of this? Who's in there? There's multiple people in there, bro.
That's a strong thing to be able to do, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's awkward having to, like, you feel rude to everybody, having to pause to, like, really think about your answer, you know? But I feel like this goes perfectly with one of my favorite Bible verses, and it's slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. And that is, like, it's been one of my favorites for a long time, and it's just...
She read me that Bible verse over our first argument.
Yes.
I was a wild boy, bro. Like, it's dangerous when you're really good at your tongue and you don't use it for good reasons. You could get, like... Bro, like, if I argue with somebody and if I wanted to be malicious and just gaslight them or, like, take their words... If I wanted to be evil with my tongue, no one would have been arguing with me. And I caught myself doing that to Belle in the very beginning of relationships. Why? Because I was in toxic relationships, bro. Before, girls would just be like... They would do shit, and I would be like... I would have to, defeat them mentally.
You wanted to get there before she did.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Like,
yeah. But Belle hit me with freaking silence, bro. Not to bring up silence again. I was like, yeah. Oh, what do you got to say for that? And she goes...
Well, no, babe, what do you...
And I was just
what do you
like,
got to say?
Come on.
You have to say something.
Give it to me.
Come on.
And then she just didn't do anything, and I just sat there.
And I was just like, start crying?
No,
just silent? What? Do something.
No, dog. You're saying it as a joke, bro. You're saying it as a joke, and I just sat there, and I actually did start choking up because I was like,
no,
I'm a piece of shit, bro. Like, she don't even want the smoke, and I just gave it to her for no reason, dog. And by the way, just the FYI, because it seems like lately I have to clarify what's going on with my words. I never was disrespectful in a way where it was like scary. I was
You're so good at debating. Like, listen, like if you wanted to, you're just so good with your words and at debating. There's just no way around it, you know. And I think the other person knows when you're. In an argument, you're like, okay.
It's so interesting we're talking about this because Jordan Peterson talked about it. And he's like, if you really want to solve your problems with your partner, if one person's a better communicator, it is beneficial for you guys for that person to also try and make the other person's point.
Yeah,
even if it's against what they're saying. Sometimes you have to help be the counterpoint because in relationships,
I just did this with my mom, bro.
Like, and hey. Listen, if you're going to put yourself out there like that, then let me counteract you with this. Like, you should be so proud of the growth that you've made in communication, in problem solving, and in arguments. I mean, us dealing with you know, problems 4.5 years ago versus now, they're completely different. Completely different. Like, so thank you, Jesus. And also thank you for being so reflective and in your growth and as a person. You're a man.
Well said. Thank you. Sorry, I got caught off. Like, I know this sounds disrespectful, but I got caught off because I just got an email thinking that we might be getting this guest. Don't say it out loud. Right when you were saying that, that's why I was like blanking out for a second.
Wait, who?
Oh shit! Yeah. I thought that wasn't possible.
Yeah, me too.
It's literally the subject line, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Oh
you?
Oh my god! I'm so sorry.
We had a conversation.
But I was like, who's Emily? Like, that's not the name. It was a different name. And so I'm like...
It's the other one.
There's no first and last... Okay, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
so nice. You were like giving me like such a heartwarming compliment. And I went to go call my mom. And I saw that. And sorry. But the reason I was going to call my mom... Well, thank you for the compliment, by the way.
You're welcome.
The reason I was going to call my mom was because today we were going back and forth, man. Me and her... Dude, like, I love my mom because she's just so wise. And even though sometimes I like... Like, I have the George Django show where I have clips. They do very well. And people come up to me like, bro, you're like, the way you talk and blah, blah, blah. But I get that from my mom. So sometimes I combat with her and it's just like, it's impossible. Like, this woman is just like.
Like, she pieces you up, you mean?
Oh, bro. Or? Like, if this was a sparring session, like, I'm like.
This actually ties in perfectly to what you were talking about going into what we were just speaking of. If you're feeling all these things and you need a little peace, I randomly came across, like, it was a pastor, it was on YouTube, and they posted the ministry from that Sunday that they put at their church, you know, and I just happened to watch it. It was just a random one. I actually don't know his name either. I'm so sorry. But he gave four keys to peace, and I thought that they were so beautiful. And that is to restore relationships, right? If you're able to make peace, if you're able to have a conversation with somebody, restore that relationship. Rejoice in the Lord, right? When you're in gratitude, when you're grateful, when you see what's around you and you put him first, you're in peace, you're in happiness. Respond with graciousness, right? When problems come at you, when situations are in front of you, if you can respond with grace, you'll have no regrets with how the situation went. And lastly, rely on God. Whenever anything comes your way, rely on God. And these seem like really simple things. You know, they seem like pretty like, okay, that seems pretty obvious. But I think those are just like four things that are so good to like remind yourself when maybe you're feeling you have anxiety, you're feeling on edge. Just remind yourself of those four things. And then maybe you can prioritize them and put them first.
I love that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the strengths of the podcast is reminders. People listen to this podcast once a week. So even though they've heard things like that before, they're in their car driving to work and they're like, I needed to be reminded of that. You know, even if they already knew that, there's tons of things where it's like, oh, okay, thank you, Belle. I needed to hear that today as they're driving to work. So
yeah,
even if people have heard that before, that's still dope. That's awesome.
Thank you. I know when I listened to him, I was like in tears on the treadmill and I was like, I needed to hear this, man. And it was just so good. If you put Four Keys to Peace in YouTube, you'll see his the ministry from this. And it was really beautiful.
I think that's it for today's episode.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up my dad.
Oh, I thought we were going to put that in as a brand thing.
Like, oh, I'll do that. Yeah, I love that.
Right, because I don't want it to just be at the end. That's not fair.
Like, yeah, so. Totally agree. That's not fair to me and my dad.
But we're talking about it now.
Yeah, should I talk about it now or should I do like a brand deal where I sit in your chair? And that
then let's just talk about it. So like sometime in the podcast, mm-hmm. we did a brand deal.
Thank you for letting me do that, by the way.
Well, you put a gun to my head.
Yeah, well.
I'm just kidding. I never got to meet Reed's father yet, but he's done an outstanding job raising Reed. And I found out that he's an artist, which is not a shock because Reed is an unbelievable artist.
I guess I got it from somewhere.
Check this out. This is kind of incredible. And I wanted to, I know we did an input with it, but I want to talk about this. This is handmade and it's one of one.
Yeah, yeah. All my dad's paintings. The reason I wanted to shout him out is because he's always been a painter. He grew up with a thing called hydrocephalus, which is like a excess water in your brain. Mm-hmm. So he like had as a kid, he had like a big head. He had like it's like a tumor almost.
Wow.
And when he was in college, he had brain surgery. From brain surgery, he came out and he started having seizures in college. Out of nowhere. He developed epilepsy from the surgery, which he didn't have before. And that kind of slowly degraded his brain a little bit. And so he couldn't have a normal job or anything. So pretty much my entire life, I grew up with my mom owning businesses and my dad helping her as much as he could. But my image of my dad is always coming out to the living room. My dad was always painting. He was always drawing. So it's like my mom is just working her ass off and my dad is just painting away with every second he has. And the reason I created a website for him and stuff is because my parents were just here in LA while we were on a little bit of a down break because we've been doing podcasts where we go hard and then we take a little bit of a break. We were taking a break. My parents came out and the whole time my dad was here, any second I'm not talking to him, he has a sketch pad out and he's drawing. I swear to God, every second. From the time he was there, from the time he came to the time he left, he had 12 sketches, and the sketches are what turn into paintings. Like, that was a sketch at one point.
How much would this cost right here?
Like, I think that's a larger one, so I think that's about $200 to $225, which is really good for the fact that it's a one-of-one. Like, there's no prints. It's just, like, that is what he painted on. He sells that, and it's in my house, and I'm the only one that has it. And also, all of the paintings he sells come framed. So, like, you literally just take it and you put it on the wall.
I love that.
It's so beautiful.
We got close-up shots of it. I'd love to show that. But for those of you guys that don't know, like, you would go to, like, Target, and that would be not too far off the price, but that's such, like, everybody might have it, or mm-hmm. it has no soul behind it. But this is a man who...
That's my dad's life right there.
Yeah, he's put his life into it. Mm-hmm. And
And also, it's like all of his paintings, I'll put some different ones up on the screen, but they're all like so different. He does ones of like still lifes of people. He does landscapes. And I just like picture my dad walking around Albuquerque with like just walking around with a camera and being like, oh, that'd be a good painting. And then he takes pictures and then draws it. And it's like he's just always growing. It's so cool.
Would he ever draw people's pictures? Like, for example, if they sent him.
Yes,
like,
absolutely. Commissions is what it's called. On his website, I put a little commission part, actually. So if you are interested in commissions for my dad, you can go there and send him an email about what he'd want. He was even like, Reed, make sure that they know that, like, they can just email me about anything. I just want to talk to people. He's like,
let's put their email in too. I'm going to put it in the screen as well too.
Such a precious man.
So you don't even
man.
Have to go to the description. But if you're looking for art, I would definitely do this, bro. Especially, I just love the artists that like any type of person that just puts their whole heart into it and they're not making so much money and they're just doing it because it's actually art to them. I feel like that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, even myself, my art, I'm like, how do we monetize? Like, it's just always like it's a dollar thing. And the fact that he didn't even think about doing this, his son put this together. That's, I'm proud of you, bro. You're a great son.
Thank you, dude.
That's really
thank
special.
You. Thank you guys for watching this, very deep, raw, hopefully not annoying podcast. I would love to come here next time and just, make you guys laugh. I guess that's a good thing that Fluffy's our next guest.
Yeah.
And
so cool we got him.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Number one comedian. He's the only stand-up comedian to sell out Dodger Stadium. Just Gabriel Iglesias, bro. Like, literally a legend. So I'm glad we get to pivot from some serious conversations to some nice laughs. Thank you for bearing with me on my journey. If we had to end it on a serious note, because it was a serious podcast, I'd say I would love your, instead of subscriptions or likes or shares, prayers. Just pray that we have protection. Like, not even just in the real realm of like physical, but like just spiritual. Like, make sure that we stick together, that we are here for each other, and that this life could get hard, and that I pray I don't grow an ego, or I stay grounded. And there was this brand that reached out to us, and he gave me a compliment that stuck really, really hard with my heart. He said, George is a man for his people. His boots are on the ground, and his audience knows that. And I took so much pride in that. And
it's so true.
I pray that that is how I am looked at for the rest of my life. And if not, then I pray God takes everything away from me to make me that type of man.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be that person forever because you're that person now and you care so much. I think you will.
I've never been this vulnerable. It's so, so uncomfortable. People come up to me like, dude, how do you do it? I go, I don't know. I don't know, bro. The camera just runs and I'm sitting there behind Reed while he's editing. Like, just cut that out, bro. Like, just put that in there. Just like, cut that out, dude. Cut to something else, bro. That wasn't even a car accident. I planned a guy. I paid a guy. I said, just ram your car into the ground. I love you guys so much. I'll see you guys next time. Peace out.